One, two. Good morning. Welcome. Nice to see all of you. I know folks are still coming in, but we have a really full service, so we're going to go ahead and get started. As we say here, let's do our liturgy as we do here at Trinity. Welcome home. Why are we here? Would you bow with me for prayer? Almighty and loving God, we come together in the name of Christ to worship You and to praise Your name, to turn our eyes upon You. We ask that You will indeed help us to focus our hearts and minds and souls upon the living Christ. We thank You for this Confirmation Sunday, for all that's gone into these young people coming to this place in their journey of faith. We pray that this will be an incredibly special time for them and their families and for this church. We ask Your blessings now. Be with us as we worship You in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please stand and join in the singing of our opening hymn, Take My Life and Let It Be.
affirmation of faith. Often, generally, we do the Apostles' Creed, but always on Confirmation Sunday, we do the creed that the confirmands have compiled together. And it's always a joy to do this. Would you join me as we affirm our faith? We believe that God is our loving Father and Creator. God is always with us in the tough times and in times of celebrating. God knows everything. He knows our hearts and forgives us when we ask. He only wants the best for us, His children. We believe that Jesus is our Savior, the Holy Son of God in the flesh. Jesus performed miracles, taught forgiveness, mercy, and love. He died to save us from our sins and rose from the dead so that we can love and serve God and be faithful followers of Jesus. We believe that the Holy Spirit is God with us, living in our hearts, guiding us, helping us know right from wrong. The Spirit can also help us through our hard times, comforting us with God's love. The Spirit was sent by Jesus to help us carry out His mission. We believe that the church is a place for everyone to gather, to feel safe, to worship, and to be surrounded by a family of believers. Church is more than just a building. It's wherever people come together to find God, answers, and real love. By coming to church, we will continue to grow in our faith together. We believe that as followers of Jesus, we will live with Him in heaven forever. We believe that being a Christian means loving and praising Jesus. Calling ourselves Christians means we want to live differently than the world tells us to, by keeping our eyes on Jesus and following biblical teaching. It means helping others, being a servant, loving and praying for everyone, even when it's hard, to forgive and let ourselves be forgiven. As Christians, we strive to live a life that would make God proud, following the plan He has laid out for us. Amen. Aren't you grateful for our confirmands' affirmation of faith? Thank you, confirmands. Wow. Now let's sing. Now let's... You got it, Steve? Oh, there you go. A joy today, the sacrament of baptism for two of our persons who are going to be confirmed, and then after that, the confirmation. Spencer and Michael, come up to the front, and your families, come up to the front, would you? Oh, good. Great. It is good to see you. I want to tell you that I had one session with these confirmands, and I asked them to ask me questions. Wow. They were really, really challenging questions, great questions. This is a great group of folks. And now Michael and Spencer are going to receive the sacrament of baptism. And I just would ask you to... Do you acknowledge Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, do you? Do you promise as Jesus gives you strength to lead a life that's pleasing to God, will you? All right. David, would you pray over the water?
Sure, let us pray. Gracious God, we thank You for this moment. We ask now Your blessing upon this water, consecrate it and make it holy for the purpose of holy baptism. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. And Michael, would you kneel? And family, would you put your hands on Michael's shoulder? And Michael, is your full name Michael Fortner? Michael Christopher Fortner. Your dad's name's in that too. Michael Christopher Fortner, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's blessings be upon you today and forevermore, Michael. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Spencer, would you kneel? And parents, family, would you put your hands on Spencer? Spencer Michael DuPay, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And may God's blessings be upon you today and always. Amen. God's blessings be upon you now. Now you may stand. And now with the rest of the confirmands, please come and join up here in front as I think Julie's kind of guided you to do.
Aren't the families are going to come too, right? Let's spread out. Let's spread out all the way around. Slide on down this way, would you? And families, you join behind them, would you? All the families, parents, grandparents, this is a full family thing. And it's a special privilege today. Okay, now that's good. Now the rest, some of you can kind of slide down this way. Good. On down a little further so we can have plenty of room. We're really grateful that our Bishop Kenneth Carter right here is here to be a part of the confirmation. When we were thinking about when the bishop might be able to be here, Julie suggested, why don't we do it during confirmation? Here, let's slide on down a little more. Slide on down. Take up the full altar. And we're also grateful that our district superintendent, Reverend Annette Pendergrass, is here as well to help and assist with our confirmation. Now, confirmands, before I confirm you, I'd like you to kind of look over your parents. Look at that very back wall back there. See, way over there where all those picture frames are? Those are people who grew up in this church who went into the ministry. And I'm praying that some of you will go into ministry too, okay? All I ask is you be open to the call of God on your life. And check those out. Those are persons that grew up here and felt God's call upon their life. So, confirmation, we baptize, we confirm, and we're open to what God calls us to do. And maybe it's to be one of His ministers. I think on the screen is going to come our liturgy. Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledge what God is doing for us, and affirm our commitment to Christ's holy church. And so I'm going to ask you these questions and you'll respond as you see on the screen, would you? Do you confess your sins and acknowledge your inability and draw on God's strength to lead the victorious, abundant life that Jesus desires for you to live? Do you? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in His grace and promise to serve Him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, would you answer now, I do. Do you believe in God the Father, in Jesus Christ His Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit? If so, would you answer now, I do. As members of Christ's universal church, will you be loyal to the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministries? If so, would you answer, I will with God's help. And as members of this church family, will you faithfully participate in its ministries with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? If so, would you answer now, I will with God's help. With God's help, will you, the Trinity family, nurture one another in faith and life and include these youth now before you in your care? Congregation, would you answer, we will surround these youth with a community of love and forgiveness that they may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Pray with me, would you? God, we give you thanks for each confirmand, for each parent, grandparent, aunt and uncle, for Sunday school teachers, for youth ministers, for any model that's been a part of this journey to this place, for this Trinity family, for disciples over the centuries who've all had a part in each one coming to this time of being confirmed and joining the life of this church. And we ask your blessings now as Reverend David and Annette and the bishop and I confirm them. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. So we would invite you to kneel, confirmands. Bishop and I will start over here and come. And David and Annette will be there. And Julie's going to read the names. The names that Julie will read will not be in order of how they're being confirmed, but we want you all to see that. And then afterwards, and Julie, do afterwards they put the stoles on all at once or right after they're confirmed? Right after you're individually confirmed, okay?
Sharon Anderson Brudfelt. Anna Renee Cunningham. John Pearson Davis. Spencer Michael Dupe. Michael Christopher Fortner. Sydney Elizabeth Graff. Sydney Grayson Honeycutt. Brian Michael Jazak. Landon Jones. Karis and Cameron King. Elizabeth Tia Lima. Aaron James Melling. Jacob Cole Norton. Joy Pettit. Austin Michael Petty. Janelle Cherokee Roll. Michaela Rollins. Taylor Wishart.
Beautiful. Would you, confirmands, would you stand? And congregation, would you welcome them as they turn and hug their families? Give everybody a big hug. God bless you all. God bless you. Stand and greet each other as they come back to their seats. Welcome the people around you, would you? And as they come back to their seats.
Please.
seated. I jumped ahead of myself, but I'll adjust here. You guys, if you'll just hold steady here, I want to say a couple of things. Look at your bulletin, would you? And in the insert is a Bible, a bookmark on the biography of Jesus. And I'm asking not just the confirmands, but confirmands, this would be a great way to get started. I'm asking all the congregation between now and Easter to read through the four Gospels as we focus on Jesus between now and Easter. That's a chapter a day, roughly, and you see on the back a great lineup. You can check it off. And if you get my daily scripture email, you'll see that chapter will be in there each day. And that'll be from the Message, but pick whatever version you'd like. But the Message is really kind of a neat way to kind of get a new, fresh look at who Jesus is. So I invite you to do that. A couple other things. The strategic plan that many have worked on, that's for the next 3 years, it's on our website. And between now and January 15th, we'd love for you to engage that, give us feedback, what you'd like to change, make different edits. That would be wonderful. This Wednesday night dinner is coming up this Wednesday at 5:30, and the program are various classes. I'm going to lead a class on Let's Talk About Heaven. Bob Weston, a retired professor of art history, is going to do themes in Christian art. Chip and Marianne Williams are going to do Parenting Teens, This Too Shall Pass. That'll be great. And How May I Relate to People of Other Faiths. So great lineup on Wednesday nights. Thursday, the marriage course starts, and Earl and Sharon McDowell are in the back. They could use a card table, but also if you or somebody you know would like to just take that wonderful, wonderful class. It's 8 weeks, a candlelight, the cost cover the meal and all that. And everybody who went through it last time found it really helpful and just takes a great marriage or a great relationship and makes it, helps to make it better. And a new Sunday school class starts today. Brian Myers has one, and it's at room 232. We invite you to consider that. One other thing, most of you know Priscilla Pridgen, or many of you know Priscilla, George and Priscilla, long, long time members here. And there were two or three times when I was fearful that we would not end the year well, that we would end the year in the red. And I shared that with Priscilla. And she said, "Oh, Dan, it'll come in. It always does." This was one occasion we did this is when Andrew had suggested that we would have a goal of $200,000 for the Methodist Youth Ranch to build a building. And so I thought, man, I don't know if we can do all this. And she said, "It'll come in. It'll come in." Well, even Troy Holloway, the most optimistic guy I've ever met in the whole world, was saying, "I don't think we're going to fall short this year." But praise be to God, as I indicated, we ended the year in the black. Thanks be to God. Thank you. Let's do what David says. Yeah. And Priscilla stuck her head in the office the other day, and in the sweetest, most wonderful way that I've ever heard these words said, "I told you so." And I loved it. Now, that doesn't mean you should lighten up today during the offering, okay? Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we do praise you and thank you that you've impressed your people to give generously, and indeed, that's been the case. People have supported the Gainesville Community Ministries, which is our mission box today, the mission in Haiti, our seminary students, and just the general life of this church. And so we ask your blessings upon these gifts now. In the name of Christ our Lord, amen.
Thank you.
Sunlight, thank you, and thanks for being back on this first Sunday of the year. Hope you had a good time away, and I think you've got a retreat coming up. I hope that goes really well. I didn't properly introduce the bishop earlier. The bishop is, a few months ago I preached on David, and I talked about when you know your king, you don't have to overly impress people. You don't have to do silly things when you're comfortable in your own skin. And that's my sense of this bishop. He's just really comfortable with who he is and lives out of that sense of grace. Has had the opportunity to be a pastor of multiple different sizes of churches. The last one was a really large church. I've been a DS. Was elected early on to be a bishop. I think people just really sensed that this person had the gifts and graces to be a bishop. Comes from North Carolina, and we welcome him. Would you give Bishop Kenneth Carter a warm Trinity welcome?
Well, good morning. I want to thank you for the honor of being here today. I'm grateful to Dan and David and Julie for their ministries and the other staff and the leaders of this church and the members. I've known about this church for many years. I've had good friends who were very much influenced in their Christian lives by being a part of this congregation along the way. And so I'm grateful to be here. It's an honor to serve as the Bishop of the Florida Conference. We have almost 700 churches from Apalachicola to the Keys. And in addition to that, we have some profoundly wonderful ministries like the Madison Youth Ranch and Florida Southern and the Children's Home, and I could go on. But it's an honor to be doing this work. This morning we will reflect on the Epiphany, and I ask us to listen to the Word of God as we find it in Matthew chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jesus is in the heritage of Israel. The beginning of Matthew's gospel makes this clear. He is the son of David, the son of Abraham. And in Matthew 2, the story begins to take a different turn. Wise men from the east come to Jerusalem. They've seen his star. This means something. These wise men, astrologers, these outsiders, most likely from the part of the world that is now Iraq, come to the holy city. They ask around, what can all of this mean? Well, they've come to the right place, to the place where the scriptures are read and known and interpreted. And this is a good lesson for us. Stay close to the Scriptures when you're searching for something in your life. Herod the king overhears the news about their presence and their quest, and he calls a meeting of the interpreters of the Bible. "Where is the Messiah going to be born?" he asks. They reply, "In Bethlehem, to fulfill the word of the prophet." Now, the Bible always has multiple meanings. Jesus, born in Bethlehem to fulfill the Scripture. Bethlehem, which literally means house of bread. The place we are called to. The place where we will be spiritually nourished. The place where our hungers will cease. Even the outsiders are seeing something that only Jesus can provide. Jesus will later profess, "I am the bread of life. The bread of God comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Well, they go to Bethlehem. They continue their search, and it is a long search. My wife, whom I've shared this life and ministry with, has a great deal of mission experience in Haiti. She will be there this week on the anniversary of the earthquake. The two of us were a part of a congregation that had a long-term mission in Haiti that included a clinic, and the woman who founded the clinic was named Alice. And Alice would often tell the story about one of her first mission experiences in Cap Haitian. She had spent a week in the clinic tending to the sick as a nurse, and working alongside her was a young woman who was an interpreter. And on the last day, Alice gave the young woman a small gift as a gesture of her gratitude for their friendship and working together. And then, as was the practice each day, she and the team got in the Jeep and took the hour-long ride back through the rough country to the city. Well, late that evening in their residence, someone came and got Alice and said, "You have a guest, a visitor." And so Alice went out, and it was this young woman, this interpreter, who had walked all of the way from that village to the city, many hours of walking, to bring Alice a small gift, a gesture of her appreciation for their friendship. Well, Alice was humbled, and she received the gift, and she knew what it meant. She was grateful, but she also had to say, "You know, I'm really apologetic that you had to walk all this way to bring me this gift, and that you'll have to walk all the way back home." And the young woman, the interpreter, said, "The journey is a part of the gift." And that is true for us in life. The journey is part of the gift. And for the wise men, the journey, as they move toward the Christ child, is a part of the gift. And so they continue seeking. They stay on the path. And God uses their natural talents to see the signs and to come to just the place where the Messiah is born. And when that happens, the Scripture says, they are overjoyed. They are overwhelmed with joy. Now, I want you to think about a time in your life when you were overjoyed or overwhelmed with joy. As I was reflecting on being here this morning, this week, I remembered back to the births of our daughters, who were both young adults now, and how we were just sort of filled with wonder. And there was a sense that time was standing still. that this was the only place to be in the universe. I was just overwhelmed with joy. Well, we have those experiences, and then life goes on. I also remember a time years later when I was immersed in the work of being a pastor, but I could have been a business person or a teacher or a nurse or a stay-at-home parent. I was simply doing my work, what needed to be done day after day, week after week, and it occurred to me that I was not really finding any pleasure in my work. Any of you ever had that experience? Maybe you've been there. It's just one crisis after another, or one small conflict after another, or one little disappointment after another. And I knew this. I was experiencing this. Well, I was a part of a sharing group. And we met once a week early in the morning, and we were honest with each other, and we prayed for each other. And so at the end of that time, I just said to the group, you know, I'm just being honest here. I just really do not have a sense of joy about things. Well, one evening, soon afterwards, I was getting some things organized in the den and watching a little television, and our younger daughter, who was elementary school age at the time, came into the room. And she was always our outgoing child. She came in and she stood beside me until I saw her and was paying attention to her. And this is what she said. She said, "Dad, today in school, we talked about our names." And she said, "I learned the meaning of my name." Her name is Abby or Abigail. She said, "My name means my father's joy." So where do we discover a sense of joy? Sometimes in the language of C.S. Lewis, we are surprised by joy. Sometimes our eyes are opened and we are led to the place. A child is born. The wise men witness the Messiah. They have been led to just this place. They've been called to just this time. And they know it. It's an epiphany, a manifestation of God. It's right before their eyes. And they're overwhelmed with joy. One of my favorite hymns is "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." And I know that many of you know it as well. For some of you, it may be new. The words remind me to keep my eyes fixed on the place where Christ is. Sometimes right before my eyes. The words are simple. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. The wise men had turned their eyes upon Jesus. The things of earth, including the Herods of the world, including the political posturing of the world, amen, have become strangely dim. In this moment, there is glory and grace. And they're overwhelmed, overwhelmed with joy. So what do? When you're overwhelmed with joy, you respond in some way. You offer your gifts. Now, anyone here this morning who's attended a few Christmas pageants, you know this part of the story. They offer their gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. The point is that these were extravagant gifts. Because they were overwhelmed with joy, they offered extravagant gifts. This story happens at the beginning of the life of Jesus, but it also happens at the end. There's another story. This time it's a woman, Mary Magdalene, who takes costly perfume and she anoints the feet of Jesus and wipes them with her hair. John tells us in his gospel that the odor is so strong the whole house is filled with the fragrance. An extravagant gift. Because this woman too is overwhelmed with joy. Extravagant gifts offered in the scriptures, the wise men, the woman who anoints the feet of Jesus. But, you know, people continue to offer extravagant gifts. As I was thinking about being here this morning, being a part of a church this morning, and my own experience of having been pastor of a church, I remembered a couple, Bill and Joan. Bill and Joan were matched up with each other by Bill's sister-in-law. Both Bill and Joan had lost their spouses to lengthy illnesses. Each had modeled faithfulness. They would have told you that it was the generation they were brought up in. Now, later in years, they were alone, but they were both active and outgoing. They lived in adjacent communities. They never would have met except for Bill's sister-in-law, who saw something, I suppose. They were introduced. They talked on the phone. They went to lunch. Bill and Joan had a great deal in common. Not only their life experience, but they also each had a deep Christian faith. Each of them had been successful in life. Bill in real estate, and Joan, who was an executive in the auto racing industry. And there are not many women executives in the auto racing industry. They found the time together to be something they had not quite expected, like an unanticipated gift. Each had been so identified with their spouses, Bill with his wife, Joan with her husband, both now deceased. They never imagined another chapter in the story. And yet, here they were. It soon became obvious. They loved each other. Now, Bill had held every office in our church. He had chaired the finance committee. He had chaired building committees. He was one of the legendary members of that congregation. Soon they began to come to the Wednesday night dinner as a couple. Then they began to come to the worship service as a couple. It was odd. It was an adjustment for people because Bill and Golda had been pillars of the church. But people had so much love for Bill that love spilled over into love for Joan. The months passed. It became more comfortable and more natural for everyone. One day Bill called me and he said he wanted to come by and see me. I wondered what this was about, but I did have a clue. They sat down together with me. They said, "We want to know what you're doing the third weekend in June." I smiled. Bill's wife had been the very first funeral I had officiated in that congregation. Bill was a mature Christian. Joan was a mature Christian. Obviously, God was at work in all of this. Well, they were married in June. Both sons were best men. Bill and Joan told me that they would live in Joan's community. And to be honest, the institutional preacher part of my brain said, oh no, we won't see much of them anymore. But in fact, that's not what happened. They were there every Sunday, every Wednesday, unless they were traveling during the racing season. A year or so later, Bill went into the hospital. The testing could not quite determine what was happening, but it was not good. Bill went into intensive care. It did not go well over the days and weeks. And then Bill died with Joan by his side. 3 days later, the church celebrated his life. We all missed him. And of course, we supported his family and especially Joan. And I thought, what a great loss. What an untimely death. Two people finding each other, so much in common. And then, to be honest, the institutional preacher part of my brain said, we won't see much of Joan anymore. Bill was her link. And now Joan will return to her community and her friends. But in fact, that's not what happened. Joan was there in worship almost every Sunday. And over time, all of the love that people had for Bill was somehow easily transferred to Joan. Life went on. Life does go on. And about 2 years later, that church was forced, as a congregation, to make a difficult decision. A large tract of land had come up for sale adjacent to the church. Now, this almost never happens, perhaps once in a lifetime, in the experience of a church. And there was real division over what to do. Some wanted to go ahead and buy it. Others gave reasons for not purchasing it. We were large enough as a church. Why did we want to get bigger? The economy was uncertain. The two major banks in North Carolina were merging. It was a difficult decision because the timing was bad and our leaders were not of one mind. And so we prayed and talked and listened and argued. It was a substantial amount of money. What made it valuable to us made it valuable to commercial and residential real estate developers. And so one Sunday we had a meeting after the last service. It was a difficult meeting. And at the end of it, nothing was resolved. So I went home. That affected me sort of the rest of the day, the dilemma. I woke up the next morning. Pretty soon, the phone rang. It was Joan. Joan had been at the meeting, listening. Along the way, this had become her church. She lived in another community, but her heart was in this church. She wanted to know if she could come by and see me. And so she came in the office a little later and sat down. Joan wanted to make a gift toward the property. She said calmly that she wanted to give a check for the entire amount. She wanted to do this in memory of Bill. And that is what she did. People do make sacrifices. The young Haitian woman did. The wise men did. Joan did. Mary Magdalene did. You and I do. The journey is a part of the gift. the wise men, the young Haitian woman, Mary Magdalene, Joan. You could name others. They teach us about what it means to be a Christian. This gift, this extravagant grace of God, is the birth and life and death and resurrection of Jesus and our response to it. So how are you going to respond to it? Some of us are here this morning and maybe for the first time, we're ready to turn our eyes upon Jesus. We're ready to start the journey of being His disciple. And today we celebrate what's happening in the lives of these young people. And some of us are here this morning and we've lost our sense of joy, if we're honest. It's just become too mundane. And so we ask that God would open our eyes to see what is often all around us, or maybe right next to us. And some of us are here this morning and we know that we have found Jesus Christ, or that Jesus Christ has found us. And if we let that sink in, we're just overwhelmed with joy. And maybe God is nudging us to make some extravagant gift that is a sacrifice. And some of us, maybe all of us, have had this experience and heard this story. And in the language that the confirmation class came to in the creed, we know that we need to return to the world as different people. And like the wise men, we go home by a different way because we have seen Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop Carter. Would you join me in the communion liturgy as you see it on the screen? We use the short form. Come to the table of our Lord. We come with thanks and praise, and we come making our personal confession to You, O God, in these silent moments. Would you pray silently, making your own confession? Amen. It is good to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, and so with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. On the night in which He gave Himself up for us, He took the bread, gave thanks to You, broke it, gave it to His disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is My body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Likewise, after the supper, He took the cup and blessed it, and gave it to His disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is My blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." And so we offer ourselves to You, proclaiming the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out Your Holy Spirit, dear God, on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by His blood. Amen. Ushers, would you come as our district superintendent Annette and I will bring the elements to you. And if you're a new member, if you're new to this church, you don't need to be a member of this church. You just need to want to follow Jesus. So we invite all of you to receive the bread and the cup. Hold it together and we'll receive all together.
sing with me.
The blood of Christ shed for you, the cup of our salvation, drink you now in faith.
Almighty and loving God, we receive your gift of life itself. Propel us now, compel us to live as you would, as your disciples, devoted to making a difference in the world. Send us forth in the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Would you stand and enjoy Sweet, Sweet Spirit on your way out to your cars. Thank you.